In Northern California, the Rim Fire continues to burn relentlessly. Yesterday, the flames reached the shores of the Hetch Hetchy Reservoir, that's the source of San Francisco's water supply, and also pushed further into Yosemite National Park. Close to 190,000 acres have burned so far, and the fire remains only 23% contained. 3,700 firefighters are currently battling the flames there, and many of them are members of so-called hotshot crews. Earlier this summer, another hotshot crew from Arizona, the Granite Mountain Hotshots, suffered devastating losses when the Yarnell Hill fire killed 19 firefighters. Now, a new report raises questions about what exactly happened that day and whether the firefighters should have been deployed there. John Doherty is an investigative journalist and founder of the news blog Investigative Media. He wrote about this for a piece which appeared in the Phoenix New Times. Welcome to the show, John.
Glad to be here.
So tell us a bit more about the Granite Mountain Hotshots. Who were they and what sort of fires did they usually fight?
Well, this was in a very unusual situation. The Granite Mountain Hotshots is the only hotshot crew in the United States that's attached to a municipality, in this case, the Prescott Fire Department. About 110 other hotshot crews scattered across mostly western United States. And these typically are attached to federal land management agencies, mostly the Forest Service. And hotshot crews are hand crews. By that, I mean they don't go in with engines. They don't go in with hoses and the typical firefighting things that we're used to seeing in our neighborhoods and cities. Their job is to contain the fire. That does not extend to doing point protection on structures where the fire is imminent. These guys have shovels and picks and chainsaws. They're not equipped to put out a fire that is, you know, approaching a house. And basically hotshots tell me is that they view a house as just more fuel. It's just like another tree. The hotshot crews will from time to time do structural protection when the fire is not imminent on a building. So by clearing some trees around it and trying to remove shrubs to build a defensible space, that does occur. But they're not trained to go into a situation where the fire is rapidly approaching into the community. And that's what was going on that afternoon in Yarnell.
John, you discovered that the center, which was in charge of dispatching fire crews to the Yarnell Hill fire, they actually refused to send this hotshot crew to cover the fire at first. So how did they wind up there?
The typical situation is that each region of the country is divided up into dispatch centers. And then for Arizona and New Mexico, it's in Albuquerque. And it's called the Southwest Coordination Center. The Arizona Forestry Division was in charge of this fire because it was on primarily state land. It started on some state land outside of Yarnell. They contacted the Southwest Coordination Center and said, we need two hotshot crews dispatched to Yarnell. The Southwest Coordination Center replied, we only have one hotshot crew available. Arizona side of the equation continued to press for a second hotshot crew and requested Granite Mountain. The Southwest did not agree to dispatch Granite Mountain, and the state then sent a email directly to the Granite Mountain hotshot superintendent, Eric Marsh, requesting that he show up. And as I've done more reporting on this subsequent to the story running, it has now been confirmed through additional records that Sunday, June 30th, was the scheduled day off for the Granite Mountain Hotshots. It was their 13th day in a row of work, their max limit on days of work, and that the Southwest Coordinating Center said that we're not dispatching them, but the state dispatched them anyway.
You also point out that someone within the crew made a decision to move from a relatively safe zone into a very dangerous fuel-filled area directly in front of a raging fire. Why?
Well, that's the $50,000 question, is that no one really understands what happened there or whether that crew was ordered to make that move. This is information that we do not know, but we do know for some reason they made a decision to move out of that area and down towards Yarnell. At the same time, the fire had reversed and was heading in their direction. This is the question that a lot of particularly former hotshots and wildfire fighters have been telling me, is they do not understand why they would move from the safe area down into a very volatile situation.
You also raised some concerns about just how well qualified these firefighters were to be doing what they were doing at the time. What are the concerns there?
Well, the phrase that you hear constantly with hotshots crews is the word elite. I've seen it 1,000 times in media reports. Elite hotshot crew. And I think that word is being bandied about a little too loosely. When you look at the background of this particular crew, it was made up of 6 permanent employees, career-type employees, and 14 seasonal employees. The minimum standards for hotshot crews is to have 7 career permanent employees. Well, this crew only had 6. And the other thing is that of these seasonal employees, 4 were in their first year. An additional 5 had 1 year experience. So you had 9 members of this crew who had a year or less experience fighting wildfire. And on the command staff, 4 of the 7 people who were in command positions were in their first year in holding those positions.
There has been a lot of response to your report. It certainly stirred up a lot of emotion. And some of the supporters of this hotshot crew said, look, even if there were shortcomings on the part of the team, even if there might have been some human error here, these sort of things really should be confidential. Maybe share them with other firefighters to prevent further situations like this from happening again. But making it public really does more harm than good. What's your take on that?
Absolutely not. These are, these all were state or city employees, and they're fighting fires on state land, and they're paid by the public. So the public has an absolute right to know how their money is being expended and whether the people being deployed are being done in a safe and following the standard orders and procedures that are supposed to be done. It's a horrible situation. There's no question about it. I've lived in Arizona since 1974, and I can't think of another single event that has had, such a devastating impact to one community. And to think that this should be just swept under a rug as a private matter is outrageous.
John Doherty is an investigative journalist and founder of the news blog Investigative Media. His story appears in the recent issue of the Phoenix New Times. We have a link to that story on our website, kpcc.org/take-two. John, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.